We're in John 16, 23 to 26. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The word of the Lord. Lord bless it to our hearts, to our minds. Last week when we gathered in worship and we had two wonderful baptisms last Sunday, we were remembering and celebrating the day of Pentecost, the great day that had been anticipated for hundreds of years, when God had promised the outpouring of his Spirit and pouring out of his Spirit on all flesh. Throughout the Old Testament narrative, God put his Spirit on individuals for specific purposes, for specific times. But when we get to the prophecy of Joel in Joel 2:28-29, the prophet speaking for God says, "And afterwards I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And as we heard last week, that event took place 50 days after the resurrection. God chose the very day on the Jewish calendar when the people of all the nations around will be in Jerusalem to celebrate the giving of the law. For the giving of the law came 50 days after the Exodus, after the Passover. And so it was 50 days after the Passover and the resurrection that God chose that very day to pour out his Holy Spirit, moving from law to grace, ushering in a new era. Something new was beginning, and something changed from that moment on. The world changed on Pentecost. The Spirit of the living God had come to abide within the hearts of all people, all who would respond to the Spirit's calling. And God did this marvelous event in full view of people from all over the world. It says in Acts 2:5, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven." So it wasn't like this coming of the Holy Spirit was done in secret. God chose the time and the place when representatives from all over the world would be there to witness it. And these people took the witness of that back to their nations, and the word of God spread. But what does the Holy Spirit do? I'm going to go through some things today that the Holy Spirit clearly does. We look at Scripture to find out the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we look back at the day of Pentecost, we realize that these disciples that received the Holy Spirit were formerly very fearful. They were filled with fear and trepidation. Their leader Jesus had been executed cruelly. They'd seen him resurrected, but they did not know what was happening next. But when the Holy Spirit came, fear fled. They were so emboldened that they got up out of hiding and confronted the crowds, the Jews, the Romans, and people from all over the world. They confronted them with the truth that they had crucified the Messiah. God did, in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul writes to Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." The Holy Spirit drives out fear and emboldens us to live our lives under his power, under his influence, to do the things that the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. So we too, when the need and occasion arises, we can speak with confident boldness the truth that comes from the word of God. And that doesn't matter whether it's at home, with family, in the workplace, in the marketplace. When the occasion arises and the situation presents itself, we who have the Holy Spirit can speak the truth with boldness fearlessly. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He also gives us the power to truly love people, even the ones we have difficulty loving. That power comes from the Holy Spirit. We also have power over ourselves. We have the power of self-discipline. We can choose, by relying on the Holy Spirit, by drawing on His power, to resist those temptations and to conduct ourselves in holiness and righteousness in all our ways. The Holy Spirit makes us bold and powerful in our faith journey. What else does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit convicts. In John 16:8, it says, when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to our hearts in the areas of our own personal sin, our own areas of disobedience. It was the work of the Holy Spirit that actually brought each one of us to faith, because someone spoke to us through their emboldenment through the Holy Spirit. They spoke God's truth to you, to me. And the Holy Spirit then opened my eyes and my heart, and your eyes and your heart, to understand the truth. The work of salvation comes through the Holy Spirit. We did not come to Christ of our own accord. We were convicted of our need to repent and to receive Jesus Christ, and that was the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The work of conviction, the work of conversion, is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in this world. There are times in our life when we struggle. Struggle in our human life, and we struggle in our spiritual life. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings comfort. When we are convicted of our sin, and we're made aware of it, we need the same Spirit to comfort us and to bring us to repentance and the resolve to live our lives in the truth. That comfort comes from the Holy Spirit. John 14:16-17, Jesus speaking, says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor or comforter. The same word is translated either way. Another counselor or comforter to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. And so as we go through our daily walk and we go through our daily struggles, we know that this is not the end. We have the Holy Spirit in us to guide us and to comfort us during those difficult, challenging times. He is a comforter and a helper and a guide. When we're going on this journey of faith, we need a guide. When we go on a journey anywhere, we need a map. Make sure we're going in the right direction. And so the Holy Spirit is that map. He is that guide. We cannot really live righteous lives without being fully dependent and listening to the Holy Spirit each and every day. It's impossible to live this faith life without drawing on the Holy Spirit all the time. All the time. Holy Spirit guides us into truth. He gives us this gift called discernment. When we read the scripture, or we hear a sermon, or we listen to a TV or a radio broadcast, we have that ability to discern. It's not like just read the truth. If we're reading the scripture, it is the truth. If we're reading somebody else's work, listening to a sermon, listening to something on the radio, we have to have the Holy Spirit that guides us into that discernment. This person is speaking the truth, or this person's got an agenda. This person's got something else they really want to teach us. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that fine tuning between truth and error. But when He, John 16:13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. He makes things known, the truth known to each one of us. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. In our focus text for today, it says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. In verse 26, but the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. It is the abiding, indwelling work of the Holy Spirit living in each believer to teach. As I was saying to the children this morning, a teacher needs a student, and the student must be open to learning. For the Holy Spirit's work of teaching us to be effective, we need to have what is called a teachable spirit. We need to have a teachable spirit. Many people in the church have their minds set on believing certain things, certain ways of reading scripture, and they stay rigidly attached to what they think is the right thing, and they're not open to the Holy Spirit to reveal to them deeper truths, perhaps even more accurate truths. And there's a resistance that comes along people, certainly for some people who are many years into their faith. They've learned something earlier on, and they're resisting the Holy Spirit's revelation of the truth. People hang on to their own interpretation and understanding of Scripture. Many are being drawn into falsehoods by false teachers, by false preachers. In the first letter of John, chapter 4, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. So how is an ordinary person to know the truth? Who are you going to listen to? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit. And you draw on His power, His authority, His truth to help you discern truth from error. But we need to have that teachable spirit. We need to have a humble approach to learning. And the Holy Spirit will guide us there. The scripture talks about this issue of false preachers being a reality even in the early church. Even as the New Testament was being written, they were already writing about false teaching. This isn't something that came later. No sooner had the Spirit of Truth come to earth to indwell the human spirit than the enemy began to grow false teachers and false preachers. Right there, even while the texts of the New Testament are being written, they're writing about this. So it began very, very early on. 1 Timothy 1:3, Paul writes to Timothy, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer. Even while Paul is trying to build these churches, people are coming into those churches with false teachings and false doctrines. 1 Timothy 6:3, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and the godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and evil suspicions. That's what goes on in the church today, 2,000 years later. Arguments about words. Arguments don't come from the Holy Spirit. The truth comes from the Holy Spirit. False teaching doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, it comes from the enemy. How are you going to know? Are you going to believe everything I say? Just because I'm the preacher? Or are you going to go to the book? Are you going to go to the Holy Spirit and confirm what you've heard? Are you going to be a good student and confirm in your own heart that what you've heard is the truth? You're responsible for that. You'll be responsible for that before God, that you discern the truth and you live by the truth. 2 Peter 2, but there were also false prophets among the people. Okay? New Testament being written about false prophets. Just as there will be false teachers among you, prophecy. Are there false teachers even in the church today? Not in this church, but in the church today. Yeah. People are being led astray. Tens of thousands of them. Millions of them. By false teachers. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. This wouldn't be written about so much in Scripture if it wasn't important. It's absolutely important that we know the truth, hang on to the truth, and live by the truth, particularly in this age, where we're living in a very, very secular culture. Our leaders no longer reflect godly wisdom. Even amongst the fellowship of the church, the truth of Jesus Christ is not being held up high. We're living in very dangerous times for the truth. For our families, for our children, and our grandchildren. We need to really dive into the Holy Spirit's truth and ask Him to teach us and open our hearts and our minds to His truths and to discern error when we see it and hear it. So we need a teacher to teach us the truth, to sustain us in the truth, to give us the ability to discern between truth and error. Because the spirit of falsehood is still going on in the world today. This is why we need to be in the Word every day. We should not be starting our day without checking in with God and His Word. We need to be reading God's written Word so we can learn about the living Word, that is Jesus Christ. We need to be in study groups together. There's no such thing as a lone Christian. A Christian, by definition, is part of a fellowship of believers. There's no standalone Christian. It doesn't exist in Scripture. We have to be in fellowship together. We have to be in study groups together. We have to be learning the Scripture together. So the Spirit can work through all of us gathered together. But when the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit reminded the Gospel writers of everything that Jesus said. That's why we have a written record. Decades after they were spoken, we have a written record of the things that Jesus said. Matthew and John heard the third words firsthand, and the Holy Spirit brought them to memory when they were writing. Mark was a companion of Peter, and would have heard them from Peter, so he could write Mark's Gospel. And Luke tells us plainly at the very beginning that he undertook to investigate these things, and to write an eyewitness account. So Luke went and interviewed those people who would know, and the Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance the things that Jesus said. So what we have in Scripture is an accurate text. That's why we need to be in there. If you want to hear what Jesus is saying to you today, it's written there in your Bibles. That's what Jesus is saying to you today. And we need to be in that on a regular basis. The Holy Spirit is essential to our lives as followers of Jesus. It's very unfortunate that in many churches the Holy Spirit is not preached about, not talked about, but he is absolutely essential to the life of the church, to your life and my life as followers of Jesus. If we try to live our life using our human minds, our human strength, our human logic, and foolish human thinking, we're doomed to failure. We have to be in the Spirit in order to live righteous lives. It is then the Holy Spirit who emboldens us, convicts us, comforts us, guides us, and teaches us. And it's in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and teaches us what Jesus taught. Let us pray. Lord, forgive us if we have not paid enough attention over the years to the work of the Holy Spirit, if we fail to understand or fail to grasp what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Lord, forgive us for being involved in trivial pursuit of words of Scripture and making arguments and conflicts where the plain truth should be plain to see. Lord, forgive us for those of us who have slipped from our regular daily Bible reading, from our earnest prayer at the beginning of each day. Restore us, we pray. Lord, teach me just to get up a few minutes early each morning and steal a part of my very busy day to just be quiet and alone with you. Lord, in this season of Pentecost, we pray again for the pouring out of your Holy Spirit. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we need it in full measure. We need him in full measure. So we pray again to pour out your Holy Spirit on each one of us here. For we need to hear your voice. We will sing these words. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet to hear your voice. We need to hear the voice of God, and we need to be in the quiet in order to hear it. It's in that quiet place alone with the Lord, reading and meditating on his word, that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to keep you? Continue to guide you and teach you every day of your life. As we go from here today, remember our total dependence on the Word of God, spoken through the Holy Spirit of God. And we need the Holy Spirit in our lives each and every day, each and every moment of each day. Go in peace today to celebrate this weekend. Also remember the Holy Spirit goes with you to guide and to teach and embolden.